The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Have the changes in the banking industry affected you? With the looming possibility that your local bank branch might disappear and more web, mobile, and social technologies, what will the changes mean for you and your business? Welcome to Breaking Banks with your host, Brett King. The possibility that banking is no longer a place you go, but just something that you do, has become very real. Now, here is Brett King.
Welcome to Breaking Banks. My name is Jim Roos, and I'm actually filling in for Brett King today in the regular host. He's in Zurich. So he was kind enough to entrust me with the show for a second time. I'm not really a newcomer. I've had the chance to host for Brett in the past and actually have been on the show four times previously. As a matter of background, I'm a partner and co-publisher of The Financial Brand. That's a digital daily publication that provides insight and strategy for the financial services industry. We look at events and changes and insights and research in the industry and then publish it and provide it to the people who read our publication. It's a free publication. It's www.thefinancialbrand.com. Also, I'm the new owner and editor of the Digital Banking Report, which is actually a 20-year-old publication that does a monthly deep dive into the way banks and credit unions are leveraging digital technology to build, deliver, and market banking products and services. We have a really great show today. I'm lucky in my timing in that I'm able to do a follow-up to a week of financial innovation events that just concluded in New York City. It went from Monday until yesterday. The series of events actually began on Monday with both a Bank Innovator Lab Day that was hosted by the Bank Innovators Council. There was also on Monday a third annual NYC New York City Tomorrow's Transactions Unconference hosted by New York Pay and Consult Hyperion. On Tuesday, there was actually a presentation and book signing by one of our friends on the show and previous guest of the show, Chris Skinner. Chris is the president of the UK-based Financial Services Club and author of the just-released book, Digital Bank. As great as these events were, the highlight of the week and the headline event was definitely Finovate Fall, which was celebrating their eighth New York City show on Tuesday and Wednesday. It was attended by an amazing crowd. I mean, it's hard to believe that this thing has grown the way it has. But we had close to 1,500 bankers, solution providers, investors, and media. And this is the 21st demo-only conference showcasing the future of banking and financial technology. They not only present in New York or do a show in New York, but they do one in the spring in San Jose. They've also been in the APEC countries and also in the UK. So this year, the event featured, and if you can believe this is a two-day event. It featured 72 companies that debuted their newest technology, which included 18 companies from 10 nations outside the U.S. In total, there were 500 minutes of live demos broken into 7-minute segments and 300 minutes of high-quality networking during the four daily breaks. What is unique about this event is that, as opposed to traditional presentations, those aren't allowed. No PowerPoints allowed is what they say. And you're only allowed live demonstrations of the newest in financial innovations. These are back-to-back sessions with only two breaks and a lunch each day. So it is definitely a drink from the fire hose experience for the people who attend. This year's presenters were a great mix of new startups and industry veterans. There was actually one presenter who had presented as the first presenter at the very first Finovate. So that was pretty interesting. And they're still doing innovations. These innovations were as diverse as they were exciting, too. It went from authentication to biometrics to payments to money management to mobile banking. And to say the least, this year's Finovate had something for everyone. Today, my guests are going to share their experiences from Finovate and discuss what they saw and see on the horizon for financial services innovation. Today's guests and my guests today are J.P. Nichols. He's the co-founder of the Bank Innovators Council. He did a great preview event to Finovate, which included about 50 industry leaders. We also have Rob Gainer, who's the chief product officer from the highly acclaimed Malazai software company and a presenter at this year's Finovate conference. And last but not least, we'll have Ryan Caldwell, who is the founder and CEO of the Provo, Utah-based digital money management solution firm Money Desktop, and as they're now known as MX, who is not only a presenter, but excitingly was one of the Best of Show winners at this year's Finovate. So without further ado, I'd like to start with a good friend and a previous guest on Breaking Banks, J.P. Nichols. He is a veteran of several Finovate conferences. He is one of the well-known people who walk the halls. He was very busy this week, and he also sponsored the Bank Innovators Lab Day on Monday. At this event, which I was fortunate enough to attend, the participants discussed financial innovation in general and also reviewed all the solutions that were going to be presented at Finovate the next day through a lens of what his organization called the relevance model. JP, I'm glad to have you on the show. I wondered if you could discuss a little bit the process that we had on Monday, as well as some of the takeaways from the day.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Always a pleasure to be here. And just to maybe wind the clock back for 1 year, we launched the Bank Innovators Council a year ago here in New York during Finovate Fall 2013. And our idea was a simple one, and that is that the fintechs had a lot of support in incubators and accelerators, and the banks really needed some help supporting and promoting innovation. And we wanted to create a tide that could really lift all the boats. And so exactly as you said, we try to put a lens of context around the 72 companies that they're going to see over the next 2 days, and you described it well. It is a whirlwind. It's back to back to back. No time to barely take a breath or even get your notes down, let alone tweet out something snarky. So what we look at this year, really we started first in terms of categorization. We looked at what are the kinds of categories of solutions, and we have six. So the first was capital markets and wealth management. The second was loans, and I'm glad to see that's making a comeback since this is the banking industry. Next is payments. After that is data analytics and big data. And then lastly, personal finance and core banking and security. And those last two categories were the ones that were the most crowded this year. There were a lot of offerings there, and I'm sure we'll talk about some of those. But what we try to do is really give, we have a mix of banks and fintechs on purpose, but our core constituency is banks and bankers. And we try to help them think about, okay, you're going to look at 72 companies. Which one should I pay the closest attention to? And the answer, of course, is it depends. It depends on which customer segments you're thinking about and what kinds of pain points you're trying to solve. But once we work through that, I think we helped prepare our attendees to really know which ones to dial down on and to have those follow-up conversations with.
You know, it was a very interesting start to the whole week. I've been to a few Finovates myself, and I think it was interesting how without having seen the innovations yet, how nobody really wanted to dip their toe too deeply in the water, and where most of them were ranked, I would say, rather low. But it would be interesting to see. I know you're doing some measurement on it. How these transitioned after the conference actually was over with. What was your takeaway from that? How do you think they transitioned, and what do you think some of the highlights were?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, Jim. And it's something I tell you, we struggle with are we better off before Finovate or after Finovate? Our first one of these was after Finovate Europe. And so we had the benefit of having seen the companies and then could talk about them in terms of our relevance models. But boy, after two full days of Finovate, it was hard to keep people's attention and energy going. So in San Jose was the first time we tried to do a preview model, and we did it again here. So I'm very interested in yours and others' feedback as we head to London in February with Finovate Europe. Should we go before or after or both maybe? I don't even know.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So what we did is we've partnered with Innovation Cafe to build one. So .innovationcafe.com. Actually have list 4,000.
JP, you know what? You're breaking up. So what I'd like to do is I do want to hear about this, but I think we should probably see if our next guest, and we'll get back to you, JP. It's interesting how this happens whenever a guest hosts a show. We lose people. Maybe there's some internet gods that keep on messing up with our Skype transmission. But, Rob, are you with us?
I'm here.
Well, that's loud and clear, too. That's good. Rob Gaynor is from Rob, from what you're seeing, and you're from Malazai, and you did a good presentation also at Finovate, but you're on the presenter side, and it's certainly a completely different event from your side. Could you talk a little bit, really quickly, about what it's like to be a presenter when you're doing 7-minute presentations with people before you and after you, going after the same audience?
Yeah, it's a startling experience, I'll admit. First, thanks a lot, Jim, for having us. We appreciate it. Great opportunity to recap just such a wonderful event. You know, I've gone many times in the past as an attendee, seen some wonderful technologies, finally convinced ourselves that it was an important event to go do. And I'll tell you, it is striking when you're on the other side of the fence. You have that 7 minutes, and I present all the time, but I'll tell y'all, it takes me about 7 minutes just to get through thank yous and get my notes prepared. So, it's really something that requires a lot of precision, something that gets, you have to be very thoughtful about driving your messages down to a couple of key points. And obviously because of the format, emphasizing the demonstrations and really showing people what you've got, showing the value and the benefits that you're going to bring, both in our case to the end users who are the customers and members of community banks, as well as to the banks and credit unions that we sell to. So it's just and I think also I must add that Jim, the folks at Finovate, the whole team, they make it such a well-oiled event that it's really, really, it kind of eases the pressure, if you will, but it's nothing quite as scary as getting out there and knowing that you've got 7 minutes to tell your story.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, if you mess up in that 7 minutes, just for anybody who's not familiar with Finovate, you get the gong, which is not a good place to be, because very quickly after the gong, you get your microphone cut off. So you don't want to overstay your welcome, as they would say, but you started your session off with something that definitely, if anybody wasn't paying attention, they certainly were once you got on the stage, because you actually started with saying the internet banking is dead. What a great way to get that early attention. I just wondered if you could give a little background on that statement and how Malazai is taking advantage of the opportunities that may be on the horizon.
Yeah, well, nothing like a little bit of drama to capture the attention of the audience. You know, maybe I can step back a little bit and give a little bit of my history and the co-founders at Malazai. We all come from the internet provider space, internet banking, working at places like Digital Insight, S1, Edify, really the pioneers in internet banking. We have that frame of reference. I also was alternative channel manager for several large banks, regional, super regionals in the United States. Internet banking has been around for, you know, now close on 20 years. Chip Mahan, the founder of S1, the first gentleman to go out and start an internet bank, really pioneered this effort that leads to where we are today with mobile banking. Chip is also a good friend of ours and an early investor in our company. The reality is that internet banking has plateaued. There's not a tremendous amount of innovation. You're looking at a product that hasn't evolved from a user's perspective in terms of the interface, the UI, if you will, for many, many years. And it's an industry in relative turmoil, with companies like Digital Insight now being owned by NCR having changed hands many times. And some of the other key providers also going through these kind of corporate actions, which have destabilized their ability to innovate. So we felt there's a tremendous opportunity to take what we do well in the mobile banking space and bring it to the desktop, enabled, interestingly enough, by the maturation of some technologies that allow you to bring an app-like experience to a browser. And I won't use a lot of technical terms today, but suffice it to say that you can make the desktop look like an iPad, and that's what we did. When we realized we could do that, we felt that it was an important opportunity for us to bridge the gap to go towards an omni-channel approach where customers and banks can have a single experience across multiple channels, but use the superior experience of mobile. We call it mobile only, or MOX. Use that experience to lead the charge. And we're very excited to, you know, provide this kind of disruptive technology for the banks that are eager to provide some real innovation to their customers in the market.
You know, that is really excellent, because I know that there's some banks, I know Wells Fargo, for instance, and I think Citi are trying to make it like on their ATMs to make it so that it's more like a mobile app, because I think people are much more comfortable with that. What it does, it certainly makes the whole process simplified. You can't put a whole lot on the screen. You can't do a whole lot of things and keep people engaged if you're going to put too much on there. So let's take a quick break. After the break, we're going to continue with Rob and JP as we discuss some of the presentations that intrigued us all at Finovate. And then I'd like to bring in Ryan Caldwell from Money Desktop to continue the discussion about Finovate Fall 2014. Will you both be able to stay with us? I think we have JP back. Are you going to be okay with that?
Absolutely.
Okay. You're with Jim Roos, sitting in for Brett King today on Breaking Banks. We'll be back after this short break.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
When you're looking for the right place to eat, there's an app for that. When you need directions getting there, there's an app for that. And if you're trying to make a healthy choice, there's an app for that. But what about an app that tells you how you're doing with your money? Now, there's an app for that. It's called Moovin, a free app and debit account that automatically tracks your spending. You get real-time feedback with every purchase you make and a debit account with no overdraft or monthly fees. So if you want to stay on track with your money, download the Moovin app for free on iPhone or Android and check out Moovin.com. That's M-O-V-E-N.com.
The successful businesses of today do everything they can to meet the needs of their customers. But outdated IT systems mean that banks often struggle to offer the same level of personalized service. SunTech is working with some of the world's leading banks to help them provide the products, offers, and services that their customers need and want. Visit suntechgroup.com to find out more. That's suntechgroup.com.
Your bank's customers expect comprehensive, convenient, and consistent service when and where they need it. A mobile app is a great start, but with so many devices and operating systems out there, it can be hard to keep up with demand. That's why today's leading banks count on the Kony Multichannel Experience Cloud. With Kony, you can design, develop, and manage multi-channel apps from one integrated platform. Build an app once, and with one click, you can deploy it securely across all digital channels, phones, tablets, desktop, and more. That means more efficient
efficiency for you and a better experience for your customers. Want to get to market fast? Explore Kony's range of ready-to-run apps, including retail, commercial, and private banking, with features like person-to-person transfers, targeted campaigns, built-in integrations, and cutting-edge compliance. Kony apps provide the framework and flexibility you need to rise above the competition. Go beyond first-generation mobile banking. Visit Kony.com/BK to launch your multi-channel strategy. That's KONY.com/BK.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks with Brett King. This is Jim Roos from the digital publication, The Financial Brand. And, you know, we usually don't take call-ins unless they've been scheduled, but we do have a special guest today. And calling in from Zurich, it's Brett King.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for looking after the show in my absence. It's a bit difficult to get all the logistics right to do it from here, so thanks for filling in.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I want to thank all the people who are listening today, and if you have any questions, you can certainly follow us on Twitter using the hashtag BreakingBanks, and thank you, Brett, as always, for giving me the opportunity to help you out a little bit here.
No, it's obviously a big, big week. You know, events like Finovate, when they started a few years ago, it felt like we were in the wilderness as sort of technologists trying to reform banking. But, you know, to have 1,500 people there, and as you said, going through all those the 70 companies demoing, it really feels like financial technology has finally hit its stride. And I'm sure, as the team comes on later and talks about Finovate, and, you know, we had Chris's book launch and so forth this week. It just feels like, financial technology is building up this incredible head of steam right now at the moment, and it's such a really hot area. So this is the place to be, the number one fintech radio show on the planet right now.
Well, and from what is becoming the number one fintech city, New York City, it was great to be there. We may not have gotten as much press as United Nations Week, and we certainly didn't tie up the traffic nearly as badly as that did, but it was a blast.
We're going to have a London versus New York sort of fintech, show off, debate or something, because this is what goes back and forth. Which is the number one fintech, city in the world? And obviously, if you're in New York, you're going to say it's New York, but the Londoners think they've got a shot at it. So maybe we can do that on a future show, Jim.
And you're right, and you have to think the Silicon Valley is going to have a voice in that as well. So, well, before the break,
Jim, and thanks for your support this week, and you've got a great show lined up, so I'll leave you to it, and thanks, everyone, for tuning in.
Okay, well, safe travels. Before the break, we were talking with Rob Gaynor from Malazai Software. They're out of Austin, Texas, and he gave us a great update on some of the products that Malazai is having. And wanted us to find out, Rob, you first-time presenter. Have you been to Finovate before?
I have. I've attended several times, both East and West Coast. And in the 4 years of our company, we've also considered presenting, but have kind of always been a little bit more modest about what we're doing. So only been as an attendee in the past.
Okay, so your solution is basically going to give a mobile type experience on the online channel, on the online banking channel, which is I think what people really want. As more people move to the mobile devices, what are the hurdles you think banks and credit unions are going to face in trying to deliver on that promise of a simple, contextual, and engaging experience?
Well, I think it's a great question. I think that, first and foremost, as the convergence continues amongst all these various devices and the channels themselves, internet, mobile, you brought up an example of ATM, call center technologies. We also provide capabilities within the branch. Everything's coming together, and it's critical that we provide a consistent and cohesive customer and member experience to the people who entrust their assets to banks and credit unions. And that has to be about providing service when the customer wants it, how they want it, but in a consistent fashion. Transactions are going to start on one channel and complete in another. So this is really about bringing it all together, number one. Number two, you got to make it easy for the banks to do that. You got to make it economical for them to do that. We specifically target community financial institutions. They don't have millions of dollars to spend on these channels, and yet they need million-dollar solutions. So it's making sure that vendors like us and many others, some on the phone today like Ryan and Money Desktop, that focus on community financial institutions, that we, you know, we're given the opportunity to attend shows like Finovate to gain the access to capital that we need to grow our companies so that we can make cost-effective solutions available to these banks and make them successful against the money center banks. And when a small bank can out-innovate the big banks, then fintech wins, everybody wins.
Boy, that, what a great comment. That actually leads me to my next question, which is, you know, I get the feeling at times that the middle-sized institutions are the ones that are going to be left out. They don't have the advantages being as agile as the middle-sized banks. They don't have, but yet they don't need to be, or they can be that, you know, they can be agile more than the middle-sized banks. Well, the middle-sized banks have all the costs and the cumbersomeness of a big bank. So, you know, it's a tough one. So, you know, it's interesting as you look at the smaller banks, it takes a mentality, obviously. And I'm wondering, do you think it's more difficult for smaller banks to offer these kind of services, these innovations, to their customers than maybe the big banks? Because that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to replicate what the big banks are doing for a vast number, a much larger number of smaller banks.
Yeah, I'd say not only replicate, but excel. Is one of the foundational principles of our company was we weren't going to do what we did in internet banking as a provider and make them almost just as good as the big banks. We were going to make them better. And we have countless examples now where community banks are out-innovating the money center banks. That's a big, big deal. Mobile is a leveler. It's making the playing field level for these small institutions. And no, it doesn't have to be hard. There's a bunch of providers like Malazai, Money Desktop, or now MX, sorry, Ryan, who are out there doing great things, making cost-effective solutions available. But I'll tell you, it comes down to appetite. Community bankers need to have the appetite to innovate. They need to be willing to take some risks. They need to be willing to what we call fail fast and learn quickly and evolve their solutions so that their customers get the best and the brightest technologies available. And I think that this is the time for community bankers to shine. They're going to be winners and losers. This is a consolidating industry. There are still thousands of players, banks and credit unions, but there'll be less. But the winners are going to win big, and community banking is healthy, and there's a vendor community in fintech that's there to support them as they continue to grow.
Boy, what's interesting about that is if the smaller banks succeed by doing this, then the consumer succeeds because the big banks are going to provide the same type of services. If the smaller banks can replicate that, you know, all we heard about this week, it didn't matter if it was a data company or a mobile company or a solution company like yours or Money Desktops. I think the one common theme is that to provide a better customer experience, a better user experience, ranging from just unbelievable user interfaces where graphics and everything else are being used, which is always better when you're using a mobile device, to the ability to really just provide very neat, innovative solutions that range from being able to save better to then as well as to be able to you know, do your banking better. So really exciting. You know, thanks, Ryan. I hope you're going to be able to stay with us, and good luck on your smart web app introduction, because it really was quite a neat way of looking at what we take for granted. And I think that's where a lot of innovation is going to take place, is improving what we're used to and making it more like what the customer wants. So next up, we have Ryan Caldwell from Money Desktop, who is probably still savoring his firm's five-peat for being named the best of show at Finovate for the fifth time. Congratulations, Ryan. Your team has to be thrilled that you did it again at Finovate. Can you share with our audience what you demonstrated this year and really what it means to your partner banks, but more importantly, what it means to your the consumer?
Definitely. I definitely echo a lot of Rob's comments with Malazai that it is interesting to see how much the banks are being empowered, banks and credit unions are being empowered to deliver software that parallels or is able to exceed what the big banks have. Really enjoyed his comments. With us, we showed at Finovate this year, we demoed, the main thing that we showed off was our Helios platform. And we've, of course, announced that our name has changed from Money Desktop to MX. We still have a Money Desktop product, and so we still, a lot of people, I'm sure, will keep referring to us as Money Desktop for quite a while. But the official name of the company and our brand is now MX. And under that new brand, we announced this Helios platform. And it's designed to enable our partners, our online banking partners, and our mobile banking partners, and our financial institution partners to be able to develop an app with a lot less work so that they can save 50 to 90% of the work and be able to deliver an experience that's exceeded anything that has really been possible in the past by being able to use cross-platform type technology.
You know, it's interesting because the whole issue, we were discussing in the halls after your presentation that some people may have missed the whole concept of being able to go to a real native development and be able to not have to go through the challenges that banks have to go through of developing brand new development across the board for each individual device. And the devices are just multiplying, so you can't keep track of them all. But what a money saver for financial institutions. You know, especially, again, we get back to the smaller ones that could never provide. I mean, most of them hardly provide money or mobile banking solutions or PFM solutions to their customers as it is. But trying to do it on multiple devices is just a huge challenge.
Yeah, definitely. It has been a huge struggle. And one of the things that we pointed out in our presentation is that in the past, it's felt like there's really two choices. To have to develop on HTML5 type framework, or to have to develop individually for each device. So for Apple, you'd have to code an iOS and have a whole team that just does Apple apps, and you'd have to have another team that would develop for Android, and then they would do a separate app. It would indeed be an entirely different code base, and then you'd have a Windows shop as well that would develop for just Windows devices, and so on and so forth. And it gets pretty complicated pretty quickly running all those teams with different deploy cycles and different feature parity, and the cost skyrockets pretty quickly, making everyone's life difficult. And we've seen some just absolutely beautiful solutions out there that do run off HTML5. And for a lot of where the market is, that may make sense. It may make a whole lot of sense depending on what partner that is. And there's certain partners that provide such a rich number of features through their HTML5 interfaces that can be a great platform as well. But what we found is that, and we're a pretty cutting-edge company. We tend to be ahead of the curve for where the norm is, but for about 5 to 10% of the FIs out there that are really plowing forward some new ground, we are where they want to be. And so we'll see, you know, anywhere from the top of the market down to about half the market's ready for these new types of technologies. And then there's the rest of the market that's going to kind of rely on and stand on older technologies, whether they're coding for individual apps or those types of things for several, you know, years to come. So we're excited to kind of announce something that can help those that want to move a little bit ahead of the curve or be able to do so.
Well, you know, your bread and butter is what I call personal financial management, or right now probably more digital money management. We now, Breaking Banks is now being broadcast on WVNJ 1160 in New York and New Jersey. And from the consumer's point of view, You've offered just really high-end user interface on the way to manage money. I would say very much like a mint, but on steroids. My question is, the uptake on that has been slow. What is your firm doing to make it better or make it more in line with what the consumer is willing to do? I mean, everybody says they want a budget. Everybody says they want money management, but when it gets down to doing it, it's a hard nut to crack. How's your firm maybe changing the way you're presenting what you're doing and the linkage to the consumer so that they are more likely to take advantage of what you offer?
Well, so I think the first thing, it comes down to the basics. If you can't reliably deliver aggregation and data cleansing and categorization and data classification, if you can't do those steps well, users just aren't interested. And one of the stories or the examples I kind of share a lot to help people understand why this is so important is, if you go way back when, you know, when horses were being replaced by automobiles, or I guess when automobiles first came out, the things would break down every 100 feet. So you have some really rich guy with a lot of time on his hands who's sitting there fiddling with automobiles, mostly because he loves automobiles, not because he's actually trying to get somewhere. And the rest of the population looks at him, thinks it's interesting, watches it for a bit, but then gets on their horse and moves on with their life. And I feel like being able to look at accounts, right now, logging into 4 different accounts, if you happen to have an account at Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase, and then your local community bank, your credit union, riding a horse is equivalent to the known quantity is, well, I'll just log into all of them separately. But if you want to really be able to have a great experience, you're saying, well, I prefer to log into one location. But to log into one location, you have to know that it'll be able to aggregate all that data successfully. And as soon as it hits a certain point of reliability, automobiles were adopted a lot. Now, automobiles still will break down. Aggregation will still have its issues. But we have to make sure we get above a certain threshold for the mass population to adopt it. So one of our first focuses as a company was, how do we make sure that we have the right aggregation partners and we have multiple sources so that we can guarantee that we're going to have reliable aggregation? And then once we aggregate that data, how can we make sure that we properly data cleanse it, categorize it, so the user doesn't have to do any work? Huge amount of adoption comes down to those things. Can the user rely on the data and trust the data? And can they see that it's categorized without any work on their part?
We need to take another break here. They come so fast. But when we come back, I'd like to bring back JP and Rob to discuss what banking innovation may look like in the next year or longer in the future. This is Jim Roos from the Financial Brand, sitting in for Brett King today on Breaking Banks.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Today, make that long overdue call to your bank and thank them. Thank them for a checking account, one that has a minimum balance and penalties for going below it. Thank them for a savings account, one that has almost no interest and charges statement fees to let you know it. Most of all, thank them for overdraft fees and all those other fees you never even knew existed. Thank them today. Why? Because the future of banking is here, and it's not just what you want, it's what you deserve. Moovin is a free app and debit card with no overdraft, ATM, or monthly fees. Best of all, you get an instant receipt every time you make a purchase and daily feedback on your spending so you can always be on top of your money. So make that call to your bank and say thanks, but no thanks. And when you're done, download the free app and get moving today.
Your bank's customers expect comprehensive, convenient, and consistent service when and where they need it. A mobile app is a great start, but with so many devices and operating systems out there, it can be hard to keep up with demand. That's why today's leading banks count on the Kony Multichannel Experience Cloud. With Kony, you can design, develop, and manage multi-channel apps from one integrated platform. Build an app once, and with one click, you can deploy it securely across all digital channels, phones, tablets, desktop, and more. That means more efficient
efficiency for you and a better experience for your customers. Want to get to market fast? Explore Coney's range of ready-to-run apps, including retail, commercial, and private banking, with features like person-to-person transfers, targeted campaigns, built-in integrations, and cutting-edge compliance. Coney apps provide the framework and flexibility you need to rise above the competition. Go beyond first-generation mobile banking. Visit Coney.com/BK to launch your multi-channel strategy. That's KONY.com/BK.
The successful businesses of today do everything they can to meet the needs of their customers. But outdated IT systems mean that banks often struggle to offer the same level of personalized service. SunTech is working with some of the world's leading banks to help them provide the products, offers, and services that their customers need and want. Visit suntechgroup.com to find out more. That's suntechgroup.com.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks with Brad King. You're with Jim Roos today from the Financial Brand and the Digital Banking Report. I'm sitting in for Brett King this week as we discuss innovation in financial services on the tail end of an amazing week in New York where we had basically three days of financial innovation in 7-minute spurts. Thanks again to our friends who have been listening today and who have been sending in their questions. Unfortunately, today we have probably so many questions that have come in, we're going to have a hard time handling them all, but we appreciate you using the hashtag BreakingBanks on Twitter. I'd like to welcome back Ryan Caldwell from Money Desktop, as well as J.P. Nickel from Bank Innovation Innovators Council, and also Rob from Malazai Software. So, as we get back to the discussion around the innovation, J.P., you unfortunately got cut off early in our broadcast today, but I wondered from the perspective that you see, and you've been around it for a while, what is your biggest takeaway from Finovate and also your traveling across the country in your Financial Innovation Day roadshow?
You know, I think one of the things we see is the contrast between incremental innovation and some of the more radical innovations. Think of wearables, right? We saw Google Glass on stage more than once. We had a drone flying around the auditorium at one point. And I think there are people in the crowd who are favor one or the other. Some people said things weren't really innovative enough. Other people really wanted to see something practical and tactical. And frankly, I'm a fan of both. So I like that we had a mix. But one thing that stood out to me is, they'll take Money Desktop, now rebranded as MX with the launch of the Helios platform. Look at Yodlee with the launch of their API platform. Those are two companies we would have called personal finance companies last time around. And now they're really moving into improving kind of core banking processes. And I think that might be, hopefully, a recognition that it's really tough, right? These core banking processes don't allow a lot of innovation to plug in, so maybe we ought to just reinvent the core. The other thing I would say, Jim, you ask about our kind of touring around the country and really the world. I'll actually be in Asia and Australia in November, and we're still finding the folks that we're all talking to here and all the folks we saw over the last few days, we're preaching to the choir. We're still meeting bankers who haven't heard of Finovate. They haven't heard of any of these companies. Even some of the biggest, most well-funded, most successful fintech companies are still news. I actually do in one of my talks, I have people vote by text. And I say, text 1 if you've never heard of this company, text 5 if you're using them as a customer, and all the answers are 1s and 2s. So I would say a lot of bankers are in that proverbial story of the frog in the boiling water. They think they're in a nice, warm hot tub.
You know, that's interesting. I think another takeaway is a couple of them are that this week proved that innovation truly comes in all sizes. from all countries. And I think it's interesting, as we discussed in your event on Monday, is that, boy, a lot of the innovation is being done overseas where they're really younger financial markets, where they're places like Poland, Turkey, Spain, Singapore, places like this where the banking system isn't as established and old, and the core systems aren't as old as they are in the U.S. So innovation, as you mentioned, really takes time, but it is sometimes hampered by the legacy systems we have. Rob, when you mentioned the internet banking is dead, which I, again, obviously caught on to and really liked quite a bit, do you see a time when the consumer may not visit a branch or do their bank on a computer, but instead either use entirely a mobile device or a wearable device or something different?
Yeah, I think it depends on the type of customer and the type of products that they're buying. I even though I'm a virtual banker by default, I do respect that customers like a cohesive experience, as I talked about earlier, and the branch continues to be a part of that. Branches are transforming. It's one of the things we talked about at Finovate, that you've got to put in the hands of an employee the same cool technology that their customers get and make things easy for them as well, because sometimes transactions will flow from a self-service channel into a service channel. It's what we call assisted self-service. So I think that may happen, but I'm also an advocate that branches are more due for transformation in terms of the function they play as opposed to becoming obsolete.
You know, that's a great point. And you discussed and others discussed the fact that, you know, you're going to see tablets more and more in branches. You're obviously going to see automated devices taking the place of some tellers. But I think the fact that in many of these branches, they're going to have employees that can wear many hats and do wear many hats, that the reality is going to be that all these devices, all this interaction is going to be on a platform that's going to be similar to what the customer sees, which is going to make it a whole lot easier than you know, employees that don't see the same thing the consumers see, or as you said, they start on one platform and want to go into the branch and they've got to start over again. That certainly has to stop. So finally, Ryan, how do you see the way people will manage their money differently in the future than they do today? I think, you know, we talked about a little bit the fact that, yeah, nobody likes to truly manage their money, but they like to know where they stand. How do you see that transforming?
I think that the users are going to be using software where they don't have to do the work. I think that users are going to be, consumers are going to more and more put their foot down and say what they're already saying in all the other industries that haven't been around for as long as banking, that they're not going to do the work. So the whole idea of a user being willing to go to a branch and open up a account with you and go through all of that brain damage just to be able to get to know you, I think that that's an outdated concept. And I mean, it's currently in play, but I think it's overdue to be gone. And I think that in the next few years, you'll start to see it disappear. Our product, WideNet, what we kind of envision along those lines is we envision that banks will start to break down these walls. They'll be forced to. And that users will move more seamlessly between banks, between banking products than we've ever seen, and that both banks and credit unions will have the ability to show off what their software can do and how well it works and how great they take care of their account holders digitally. I think that we're going to see that be very fluid, and that's going to give users options, it's going to give consumers options, and it's going to make innovation is going to kick up to a notch we've never seen it at before in fintech.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about that, and I think about in the UK now they have portable account numbers where you don't have to change your account number going from institution A to institution B. I foresee the time when that's going to happen in the U.S., and when that happens, all gloves are off, and people are going to be hand-to-hand combating for customers because it's going to be a lot easier for people to switch accounts. Before we close today's show, I'd like to introduce another guest, Derek Corcoran from Avoca, who is releasing a new product next week at Findevor, which is actually, it's in San Francisco, and it's actually another Finovate conference for those startups that are actually, I'll say, pre-Finovate providers. So, Derek, can you provide us a little peek behind the curtains as to what you will be introducing?
Yeah, sure, Jim. There's a certain amount I can say ahead of the release, but look, I appreciate the chance to have a chat with you today. So Avoka, which is A-V-O-K-A, is a software company, and the product that we have, Transact, is helping our clients deliver a great customer experience for sales and service transactions, things like applying for a credit card or a loan and an account opening. It was interesting to hear Rob talking about the death of internet banking, and I agree. I think everything for existing customers to the bank is moving towards mobile. But when it comes to new-to-bank customers, we're seeing a lot of interest from the banks in the ability to give a great account opening experience or loan application experience in the mobile browser, in mobile web. And what we're bringing to Findeavor in the next few days is we've seen a lot of success from our clients using some of the agility and the analytics that we've got in our product at the moment to tweak that customer experience. And again, kind of building on Rob mentioning fail fast, we're seeing our customers take kind of test and learn cycles with those digital sales experiences for account opening and loan origination and so on. And so we're taking some of that experience that we've learned from those clients and we're building on that in the product that we're going to release. So in the Findeavor session, in addition to like a Finovate-style 8-minute presentation, we've got an extra minute. We'll actually be running a workshop. And in that workshop, we're going to build an account opening experience in its entirety, and it'll be a multi-channel experience, and we're going to do it in under an hour. So it's going to give us a great opportunity to kind of deep dive on what the product is and what we've been able to build into the solution.
Well, I'll tell you what. It is interesting how much innovation is going on in the financial services space and the number of companies participating, where they're coming from, the solutions they're providing. And what's exciting is, you know, Ryan, I was talking to somebody the other day about the fact that, you know, you guys, not too long ago, as Money Desktop, were all about making the desktop experience better. And now with your change to MX, it's obviously recognizing the fact that we're talking about the mobile experience. And I think this is all going to hit the consumer very quickly. I think Apple's announcement two weeks ago of Apple Pay and iTouch and all their things are really going to transform the way consumers view banking. I think there's a lot of laggards. There's a lot of people that are concerned about security. They're concerned about privacy and trust, and even in some cases concerned about their financial institution. But I think these things start to go away when you look at the new security capabilities of the devices out there and the way everybody's trying to solve for the challenge that the consumers see in some of these new innovations. I'd like to thank our guests this week who shared some great ideas. JP, Rob Gaynor, and Ryan Caldwell, I really appreciate you helping me make my guest hosting duties fun and insightful. And before we sign off, I wanted to give each of you a chance to give our listeners some information around how they can reach you, how they can follow you, how they can follow your companies. JP, I know you have a blog that I follow as well as a company site and your own personal Twitter site. Can you give us those?
Sure. BankInnovatorsCouncil.org and JPNichols.com.
That's very easy. Rob?
Sure. We're on all the major social medias, probably our favorite being LinkedIn, but we're on Twitter and Facebook as well, and MalAuzai.com, MALAUZAI. I know that's a mouthful, MalAuzai.com.
And Ryan?
Yeah, you can find us at mxenabled.com and through all of our partners as well. You can find out more about our product as well. We deliver a lot of our products through our partnerships. You can learn how we kind of enable them through mxenabled.com.
And Derek, I don't want to leave you out for Avoka. How can they reach you?
So the Avoka Twitter handle is Avoka Tech. That's AVOKATECH. And my personal one is CX Officer. So CXOFFICER. And I'll be kind of following what's going on at Findeavor. I'll be tweeting out. I'll be watching what the other innovations are that are being brought to the table. So if people are following me on that, I'll be giving them my kind of takeouts on what's working there.
And for all those people that we maybe piqued your interest about what Finovate is and was, you can certainly go to finovate.com. And what's interesting about that is there's a recap of all of the presentations that were done this week, a written recap. There's also a number of videos, and I think in another week, I don't think it's maybe quite that long, they're going to come and you'll be able to view each one of the presentations. So if you're a fintech geek or a person that's interested in what's going on in the financial services innovation world, Finovate.com is a great place to go. Jim Bruni and his team did a tremendous job of almost like herding cats. I mean, just putting on an event where you have to give strong electricity and Wi-Fi connections to everybody in a huge conference room is no small undertaking. You can also follow myself, Jim Maroos. I'm at Jim Maroos for Twitter. And you can also read some of our articles on thefinancialbrand.com. It's as I said, a daily publication that comes out talking about the financial services industry. And I also am the publisher and editor of the Digital Banking Report, which you can find just digitalbankreport.com. It's a monthly publication where we do deeper dives on digital banking. So that's another week of Breaking Banks with Brett King. Brett will be hosting the show next week. He'll be at Cybos next week at the regular time. So definitely not a show to miss. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
You've been listening to Breaking Banks with host Brett King. Please be sure to join us again next Thursday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll explore more changes and challenges next week.